This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy Tuesday morning, Junks listeners. We are the Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 AM, Monumental Sports Network 2. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Just go to cropmetcalf.com if you need information on how to become one of their five-star technicians. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes. This is where you find me on Twitter, at Cakes Flops on the Instagram. Good morning to Jason Bishop with us here.
Good morning, Cakes.
Hello. John Paul Flame is here, too.
What's up, Cakes?
Hello. And Eric Bickle, that's your foursome.
Good morning. How are you, Ricky?
I'm doing well. If you guys are hungry at any point, I have a bag of everything bagels from our friend Paulie Flicks on Long Island.
Those are thick.
These are the biggest, thickest bagels. And I got a dozen of them. I mean, I barely have room to fit them into my house. They're so big.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, look at these guys.
I'll probably dive in. I mean, they're kind of known for their bagels.
Because you guys are weird and like cream cheese, I went out and bought some cream cheese.
Oh, nice
so
of you.
If you want to slather your Staten Island bagels with cream cheese, please have at it.
What do you put on your bagels?
I'm a butter and or margarine guy.
Okay.
I know like that butter. I'm in the minority. I understand that I'm the weird
Butter's
one.
Butter's fine.
I'm the weird person that puts butter or margarine.
I think butter's fine.
On the bagels.
But, cream cheese is silly on a bagel.
So, nice gesture by Paulie. The only issue with getting a dozen everything bagels in your car is then your car then just, it smells like a big, giant bagel factory.
It smells like a garlic factory is what it smells like.
Because I pick the bagels up, obviously, in Staten Island, then drive another hour or so to Long Island. Mm-hmm. The bagels then sit in the car while I'm watching Ovi make history at UBS Arena and then have to drive all the way back with said bagels. So might need to deodorize the car or get some sort of air freshener.
I think if you keep the windows open a little bit, you'll be all right.
Yeah, I can smell it over here.
Yeah.
I'll probably dive good. In.
So yeah, you guys, please feel free to dive in.
You know,
thank you to Paulie. He's always been very nice to the show.
Yeah.
Used to send us movies on DVDs before they came out. That was his bit. That's why we call him Paulie Flicks.
He brought that up during breakfast with my kids, and I had to explain to my kids.
They didn't even understand the concept.
Yeah, like they were like, he did what? And sent you what? And I was like, well, he would pirate movies. I kind of downplayed that and then burn them onto CDs and send them in the mail.
Right.
And then we would consume.
Is he still a bus driver? Is that what he did?
No, he's retired.
Oh, he retired.
Full-blown retired.
He just goes on cruises all the time.
Yeah, every time I see him, he's in some like Caribbean country just soaking up the rays with his wife.
Is his wife retired too? Or she's still grinding?
She might be on at least a part-time grind, but I know he's just full-blown retired.
Yeah.
Pension, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Yes, you get a pension when you're a New York City bus driver for X number of years.
Yeah, good for him. He's a really nice guy.
Pensions are great.
Appreciate the bagels. So last night, obviously, and we'll get into the game, You know, I was about to go to bed, and then they cut it to like 9 or whatever. They cut, you know, they cut it to like 1, I think, at that point. But with about 7 or 8 minutes left, I was like, wow, we really got a game. Watched it till the end, exhausted. I had taken a nap prior, which I really don't nap anymore, but I took a nap prior because I knew I wanted to stay up. Had difficulty falling asleep, of course. Didn't fall asleep till after midnight. Woke up this morning so groggy that I noticed when I went downstairs, I had 2 different shoes on. I had 2 different.
But you noticed it before you walked out.
I had 2 different white shoes because, you know, I like to slip on my shoes. I had my white slip on Hokas. And then on my right, they actually are kind of slip on Adidas, but they have some laces, but, you know, it's weird.
Lace is optional.
Yeah. I'm downstairs walking around with 2 different shoes on. Literally never done that before in my life.
Pretty funny. It's a good one.
Thank God I noticed it before I came here. I doubt you guys would have noticed. You might have. Nobody pays attention to anybody around here.
I don't really pay attention to what people are wearing on their feet for the most part.
But
now, if you wore like a white shoe and a blue shoe,
right,
like you just look like a clown, right, I'm probably going to notice that.
But that's how sort of groggy and out of it I was this morning.
I mean, this is the million time I've said this. The fact that the tip is at 8:50 is
late. Yeah,
it's an outrage. It should be against the law.
It is.
That's
crazy.
So late. What are we doing here? 8:50 tip?
I guess they're trying to, you know,
they've been doing
thread
they
needle
want the West Coast
for both coasts.
Again,
you know, it is what it is.
Don't care about the West Coast.
I know. I'm with you, Cakes.
Don't care about them at all. This is where the population is. East Coast, baby. Cater to the East Coast viewer. The latest that game should tip off, 8 p.m. The latest. Should be 7.
I'm with you, man.
Should be 7 p.m.
But they've been doing that forever.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Just because they've done it forever doesn't mean it's the right thing.
Well, it sucks because
I have to like
we got to get up at 4. I mean, if you know people who get up at 6 or 6:30 or 7, they're fine.
They're fine.
But getting up at 4 sucks.
Game's over at close to midnight.
I know. It sucks.
It didn't end at midnight.
I said close to midnight.
It ended at 11.
I'm trying to use some artistic license over here, Draft. 11 p.m.
College basketball games take just over 2 hours.
11 p.m. You ever heard of primetime TV, Cakes?
It's close to midnight.
Yeah, but usually.
Did you live a life at one point where you watched primetime television?
Yeah, but primetime was like.
That's kind of an old school concept.
What's 8 to 10.
8 to 10. All right, but this is
7. Seven, they're still running the game shows and news. 8 o'clock was the beginning of primetime.
8 p.m.
9 o'clock when you had a show. A big time show like NYPD Blue,
10 and 11.
Or ER, they were 9, and then some of those shows were 10.
If you want to be a relic and a dinosaur, you're doing a good job of it by saying everything should start at 9 p.m. because that's the way that Seinfeld came on TV.
No, what I'm telling you is that's when people are up. That's when people are up.
People are watching TV at 8 o'clock. At 8 p.m.
Cakes.
There's plenty of people.
Cakes, I'm
with
you.
All I have is voice of reason.
It's just one of those things. JP doesn't care because he goes to bed at 1 in the morning.
Yeah,
every
he's
day.
A night owl, so of course he's arguing.
It's just one of those things you got to deal
better.
With.
Well, yeah. The networks are doing it for a reason.
Understood.
It's not just the West Coast, even on the East Coast.
You don't have to like it.
That's when people watch TV.
Well, whatever.
9 o'clock's
a
little late.
And I do not
even
silently
on the East Coast.
Protest. And I won't protest a lot, trust me. But I will protest.
I'm with you, Cake.
Bad start times for big events.
I think it's too late. I think all those sporting events come on too late. But what are you going to do? That's why I took a nap to try to.
When you're not getting
it.
Up at 4 in the morning anymore, you won't care.
Well,
probably right.
Close to death. Yeah, at that point. I mean,
and you know what I won't care about when I'm 70 plus years old?
Yeah.
Houston versus Florida.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to get. It's not going to move me.
So you're going to be doing morning radio till you're 75 years old?
I'm just saying.
Really?
When I'm at an advanced age, I'm not really going to care about Calvin Sampson failing to win a national title.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I mean, is he 71 years old?
Yeah, he's in his 70s.
Okay, that was his best opportunity, and he just let it slip through his fingers.
Surprised he could stay up.
Surprised. That's a good one.
Well, all his players wanted to just turn the ball over every time they had it.
Calvin Sampson. Great career, but it's going to be unfulfilled because he's never going to win a national title.
Well, it was kind of embarrassing, the execution down the stretch. The last possession was humiliating, I thought.
That was.
Possession before that, the guy dribbled off his leg when they were scrambling.
For the last 10 minutes, I mean, it was kind of a disaster.
They had 4 consecutive turnovers in the last minute and a half.
Would you rather get to the Final Four and just get that close to it and not win it or just never make I might all...
Nah, it's better to get there.
Never get to the Final Four.
It's better to get there.
Of course, you just get tantalized by it. You're so close.
No, of course.
You fail.
You want to get there as long as you can. You know, get as far as you can. But
rough one. That's a good, That one will haunt him for as long as he's still walking around upright.
Every day he's going to think about it.
It's still an accomplishment to make it to the national championship, to make it to the Final Four. Whenever you, if you just went on Wikipedia and you look up a random college coach, if they've made it to the Final Four, that's going to be there in the accomplishments.
Sure.
Making it to the Elite Eight, it's probably not.
He's just going to say, well, you know what? You got that close. You got to finish it off.
Right.
But you know what? He doesn't go out there and play. His players do.
Mm-hmm. That's a rough one.
And when you turn the ball over four times in the last minute 26, well, that's not on him. But I understand it's a late game, but and especially because it's early in the week. It's one thing if it's on a Thursday night, but when it's a Monday night, it's tough.
I just don't know how people can wind down. I had a hard time. I don't know.
You guys, the game used to start 30 minutes later. They moved it up.
Sure.
You should start at like 9:20.
Tip at 9:20, yeah.
With Jim Valdez, we should show up at the TV studio's headquarters with pitchforks and torches and really protest. Just call for somebody's
head. It's amazing the college hoop season's over. You know, obviously the NFL season ended, you know, with Super Bowl, and you move on to the next season, then you get through the tournament. So then you're looking forward to the tournament. Now that's over. Now you're looking forward to NHL playoffs here in Washington. So you kind of move on to the next stage.
That's the way it works.
It's the way it works, man.
This week it's Masters Week.
Masters Week, yep.
You got NHL, you got NBA, you got Major League Baseball.
I've got the music.
And college basketball, it's just portal news.
What's right? I missed any portal news yesterday. What was the big portal news yesterday? Anything?
Big portal news? I'm not sure. I know UC San Diego lost their entire starting five because their coach went to New Mexico.
Well, that's standard.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like what happened in College Park. Pretty close.
A lot of guys will enter the portal in that situation but end up coming back because they won't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Some of them. The back end of the roster guys.
Let's see. Yesterday, Virginia got a transfer kid from Oklahoma. Kentucky got a kid from Alabama. Dell Jones from Clemson went to Radford. That's a big one.
I saw Willard brought over every coach with him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you saw. I'm spacing his name. Well, Deshaun Harris Smith went to Georgetown. You saw that. That was a couple days ago.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Have fun with a defensive specialist who's going to dribble the ball off his feet all the time.
But I think the top 45 guys, top 50 are already committed.
Mm-hmm. All right. On a Tuesday, we've got Timothy Gay scheduled to come in. He's the author of Rory Land, since it is Masters Week.
Mm-hmm.
Got a new book out. EB's got all of the post-it notes.
It was quite an effort. I actually looked at every one of his post-it notes.
Very nice.
And skimmed through it.
So he'll be in with us coming up at 8:40 when we come back. We'll get into the junk sports page. We'll lead it off with the Nats. Break them up. They've won three straight.
Nice.
Get into that and more next on the Junkie Sports page here on The Fan. This segment brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Then sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You score 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. Because I had a foggy brain last week, I tagged the wrong don't sleep in my Twitter post, so I had to rectify.
You had
that.
To correct it.
Yeah, I had to go back and do make good.
At least you didn't send a sex video. I'm reading two stories.
I have not done that
this morning. One of like a mayor. I don't know if you guys saw this, Jason. You get a kick out of this. This guy is a former mayor of Minot, North Dakota. I don't know.
I've heard of the city. Yeah.
Heard of North Dakota.
The guy looks like he's probably 65. He looks like he's probably 280 pounds.
That's a nubs, Mayor.
He sent a sex video of himself, I guess, that he was sending to his girlfriend, but unfortunately, he sent it to the city attorney. And, you know,
city
by
attorney,
accident,
male or female?
Female. And he told her, I actually feel a little bad for him because he is an idiot. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he has a sex video at like 65.
Yeah, boomers should not be sending sex videos.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be sending anything.
I mean, it's just wild. But he sent it by mistake. They were discussing something like homicide. Okay. And somehow he attached this video and right away he realized he botched it. Mm. And he said, please don't open that. Please delete that.
Okay.
But the thumbnail exposed what it was.
Okay, got it.
And for what, you know, whatever it's worth, the city attorney, she made a big deal about it. Now the guy gets donked off. But yeah, it's totally his fault.
I'm going to guess he's no longer the mayor of that town can't pronounce.
I'm sure you guys saw that there's an MLB executive that had to quit or was fired because he was sending sex videos to people on the team.
What an idiot.
Yeah, like,
do they think that they're going to just get away with that?
I don't know. You can't just send videos of your Johnson
employees. You know what? You're effed up in
the head. You got to watch all
those
compliance
videos. You're not thinking of repercussions. You're caught up in the moment. And you're not thinking about what's going to happen, 2 days later when it finally gets out.
Right. Cakes, you said boomers shouldn't be sending sex videos.
Correct.
What was your cutoff for sending sex videos? What age did you cut it off?
Is it appropriate?
When did I last send my last sex vid? I've never done that.
Maybe in your 30s or something.
Like late 20s, maybe early 30s. It's like, mm-hmm. You should stop sending the horny vids. I mean, that guy is can start drawing his social security and he's sending sex vids.
Yeah.
It's just
wild.
I mean, what's the upside to it? There is none.
Well,
there's no upside.
Get your girlfriend sized, hopefully. Well, although she probably didn't even want it.
I'm sure she doesn't want it.
No.
The city attorney definitely didn't want it.
She definitely did.
She outs him.
Yeah. You look at the guy. The guy's name's Tom Ross. Look at that guy.
Ross.
I mean, that's the last person on the planet whose sex video you want to see.
I mean, he looks so buttoned down and conservative. Like, I'm surprised he's even getting after
it. I bet
that
you
guy.
The girl he was sending it to, you'd say... Yeah. That's the last person in the world you'd send a sex video to.
Probably, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Might be the love of his life.
Yeah, we'll see.
No. He's talking about the attorney.
I'm talking about
they mistakenly sent it to.
No, I'm talking about the first woman. That
he's talking about the...
She's talking about the intended...
He's probably a big fatty, too.
Let me just say this.
Oh, that could be.
If I were to send a sex vid, which I've never done, but if I were to do it,
mm-hmm.
I would OCD... like a mug over the addresses it's getting sent to. Mm-hmm. Like I would check it more times than I check to make sure that the gas nozzle isn't in my car. And I do that a good 3 or 4 times before I pull off.
You're that OCD.
Well, I don't want to.
At least
3 or 4 times.
Doubt because yourself.
I don't want a $1,500 bill and the embarrassment of driving off and having a gas hose attached to my car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. So I obsessively check to make sure the gas nozzle is where it belongs.
That's what you have to do.
I would just advise anyone with the cloud, you should never send anything.
Yeah.
Pretty X-rated.
True. It's pretty true.
Pre-cloud maybe, but pretty much if there's a cloud, which I don't really understand, but I understand enough to know that whatever you've got out there, it's going to be out there in perpetuity.
Sure. And
you probably shouldn't send it.
People are going to be able to find it.
It's not even just the cloud. Like, it's on your phone. You can never get rid of it. It's just out there.
Someone's always going to find it. Someone's always going to see it.
Right. I don't even know how we got
it. Or you just don't show your face.
What do you mean? You brought it up.
I know, but I don't know what triggered the thought. You said something about sending something.
Yeah, like you said to be super careful when you send your sex vid.
No, I know before, but you brought something up. It triggered the thought.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I was doing the don't sleep energy read.
He said boomers shouldn't be sending it. Then I brought up the age group.
Eric, you brought it up.
I know I brought it up, but he said something about you tagged the wrong don't sleep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
No, I know I brought it up. I'm saying, why did I bring it up?
It's early, Matt. It's early.
Yeah.
Brains are all foggy.
Yeah.
No, I know I brought it up. I was just trying to figure out why. You triggered it.
All right, so you mentioned to open up the show about the game last night. I watched the first half live, and what did I do this morning?
Watch the rest, no commercials.
Watch the highlights on ESPN.
No, I watched the second half. Got up at 3:15. Florida with their third natty champ. Todd Golden gets his national championship. He's a guy who played at St. Mary's, West Coast dude, was a coach at San Francisco. had some connections to the SEC because he was an assistant at Auburn, but comes to Florida a few years ago after Mike White left and went to Georgia. Drabby, do you remember Todd Golden was involved in that sexual harassment scandal last year?
Yep. Got cleared, and he was almost donked off.
He was accused by multiple women of sexual harassment last year. They did a thorough they claimed they did an investigation, found no evidence of it. So he's still there, gets his national championship. First half was kind of like the Duke-Houston game, where Duke kind of controlled Houston for most of the part. Houston, in my opinion, was kind of controlling that game.
I mean, Clayton didn't have any points at halftime. For 11 or 12 in the second half.
They were forcing turnovers. They were doing a good job rebounding. Second half, you know, just kind of fast-forwarding through a lot of the plays, but I watched like the last 10 minutes, but it was kind of a flip-flop. And Clayton started making shots. Houston started turning the ball over a little bit. Houston wasn't getting the boards.
Really just came down to the last 2 minutes in execution.
It did.
And in the last couple of minutes.
I was giving you my
okay, breakdown, but you said you were fast-forwarding it, so I didn't know if you saw it all.
I watched the last 10 minutes, Ricky. So four consecutive turnovers on four possessions with a minute and 21 left.
Gross.
And then obviously Florida wins the game by two. Houston was undefeated the entire season, holding teams to under 70 points, mm-hmm. except for last night.
They had a really hard time, I thought, getting into their offense. They were running all those
Florida did a much better job defensively in the second half.
They played better, but it seemed like 10 seconds off the shot clock already, just before they could even really kind of get anything going.
Not enough urgency. They had a chance for a 2-for-1, and they didn't do that. When they were down by two, they had the ball with roughly 45 seconds left, and they took their time, and then the guy dribbled it off his leg. I mean, good defensive play by Florida. And so Florida got the ball back. They had to foul. Then they got another chance, and again, that felt like they kind of
that final possession
didn't have
ridiculous
urgency, and then they kind of scrambled. I was rooting for Florida at the end because
Houston.
I was rooting for Houston. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was rooting for Kelvin Sampson. Hakeem Olajuwon was there. Jim Nance was there.
Yeah. I guess I was kind of rooting for Houston, but
they've
I didn't
been
really
there all
care.
Weekend.
I mean, ultimately, I didn't really care. I didn't go to either school.
Yeah. It was very hard to figure out who to root for.
But Clayton hit a big shot with about minutes left.
He hit a three-pointer. He hit huge shots all tournament long.
And that's what Florida did kind of throughout the tournament. They seemed to trail in a lot of games and come back in the second half. This time they just executed the last 3 minutes of the game best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Houston can't turn the ball over four times in the last four possessions. I'm sorry. A Final Four team shouldn't be doing that. That can't happen. A Kelvin Sampson-led team shouldn't have four players, including your two veteran guards who've played in huge games, who've actually played in the Final Four before, turn the ball over.
Well, you know what's funny about it still? They still only had 9 turnovers on the day.
Well, I know, but 7 of them were in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So Florida gets it done, 65-63. The college basketball season is over.
How about Florida down big to Tech, Auburn, and Houston? And Rowley's beat them all.
Beat them all. Yep.
Well, Maryland kept it close for a half, too, before they kind of blew us out. I think Maryland was up by 3 at one point.
Yeah.
Their largest lead.
And they get it done.
No, they just executed down the stretch.
I'm just, I got a deal with my buddy he didn't go to Florida. He actually went to Virginia Tech, but his son goes to Florida.
Okay.
So he's now a huge Florida Gators fan, mm-hmm. obviously. So now every time I see him, that's all he's going to talk about.
He's Gator by association.
Florida Gators.
Sure.
When I see his son, he's just going to say, well, how about them Gators?
He's going to give you the chop.
You know what? They get the good job.
How many of these kids are eligible to come back? Like, is Clayton, what year is he? He's going to apply for the draft or whatever?
Hey, they're going to get the big 7'9" guy next year, EB.
He's played
he's
six.
Terrible.
Yeah. Clayton's played 5 years. He started out at Iona.
So he's gone. But, like, I wonder, if you win a natty, do you even stay? That's kind of my question.
If you
if there's anybody there that was a contributor, or are they just going to move on?
If they pay you enough, you'll stay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Their guards are all...
all gone.
Well, maybe Richard might have one.
What about
more year.
What about Condon?
Condon's only been
sophomore.
There. He's only been there a couple of years.
But you know,
he's not that good.
He played pretty well last night.
Key contributor.
I'm trying to think.
He had a couple walks early in the game. Tom, looks awkward.
Paul's a sophomore.
Yeah, so they got the big guys back.
But well, in theory, they would be back You just don't know. Yeah. Everything's up for grabs now. I just wonder what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I mean, Condon could get some offer from some other SEC school or Big Ten. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so the Nats have won three straight. They took the series against Arizona. Dodgers came in pretty hot. They won their first eight. Now they've lost three out of four. Dodgers lose yesterday to the Nats, 6-4. Mackenzie Gore gets win number one. He was really good. He gets, through
seven strikeouts over six.
Six innings, five hits, two earned, only walked one. You know, Shohei was hot. He had three hits. But James Wood hit a big bomb. And Kyle Finnegan gets a five-out save for his fourth.
They went with DeJong at shortstop yesterday, right?
They did. Gave Abrams the day off.
Shohei was a double shy of the cycle.
Yes, he was. He was double shy. And Finnegan actually got bets with two guys on in the top of the ninth to ground out to the right side. I think it was the second. So big win for the Nats. Now they're 4-6.
I think Cruz had an RBI, EB.
No hits. But yeah, I saw he did have an RBI. He's hit.
I don't see one in the box.
No, he didn't have an RBI.
He had a run scored.
He had a run scored.
He's hitting 094. Listen, I don't want to make it. I hope he becomes a superstar. I'm rooting for him to become a superstar. I'm just waiting. That's all.
Well, everyone's waiting.
Might be doing
waiting.
Some waiting. More waiting.
I'm just, I'm questioning early.
Will he get his average up to 250 by season end?
I would hope. I would hope.
You want to bet on it?
That he will or won't?
I mean, I don't really. I mean, sure. To prove I'm not rooting against him, sure, I'll bet him. I mean, he's supposed to be a star.
I want to take that. I want to take the bet that he's going to get the 250.
No,
I'll take it early.
I'll take it.
You'll take that he gets there.
Sure. I'll prove.
I'll fade him.
I'm going to prove I'm not rooting against him.
All right, Valdez, put that in the book. I'm betting under 250. EB betting over standard $2
bet. Saying that I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I know he played.
I'm not rooting against him.
Yeah.
I just want to have a sweat.
Yeah.
I just like having a few Nat sweats.
Well, I'm glad
out there.
They've won a few games here because he got off to a woeful start and now they kind of steadied themselves. I mean, Gore, how many times has he pitched? Has he pitched twice now?
Both outings have been great.
Third outing.
He had a bad one sandwiched in between.
Okay. Yeah, his second outing wasn't good.
Does my guy who was working at Home Depot start today?
Board?
Believe he's the starting pitcher.
He is the starting pitcher today, yeah.
He's working at Home Depot in December.
And then tomorrow they got a 4 o'clock game. Today's a 6:45 start, correct?
I'll double check
that. Yeah, 6:45. Yeah, so, going in the right direction.
Just two games under 500.
You know, we got to get to 71 wins.
We're back in the chase.
I'm going to worry about that like in July.
No, but you could have got blown out early. You could have got buried early.
That's true.
If they were 1-9, I'd say probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
4-6 still have a legitimate shot. And I've got under 105.5 for the Dodgers, so the fact that they've lost 3 out of 4, I like that.
You're a big fan.
Mm-hmm. All right, so elsewhere, yesterday, Orioles, they get a win. They beat the D-backs out in Arizona 5-1. Gunnar Henderson, who's been back for, I don't know, 3 or 4 games or so, had a couple hits. Day baseball is awesome, by the way. I love day baseball. 1 o'clock game today, Yankees-Tigers. Tigers beat the Yankees yesterday.
If it's
yesterday.
Any two teams, you'll just have it on.
Yeah.
The house, have it on the
back. Yeah, I mean, if it's on, absolutely. Yeah. Bet on it. Throw some parlays in
there. Live bet it, whole nine.
Dude, I love it.
Where do you do it? Just like from your kitchen? You sit in your kitchen?
Yeah, we're upstairs in the bedroom with the dog, hang out, just watch some games. I watched live from
like
yesterday.
Like at 1 o'clock, you'll be in the bedroom?
Depends. I mean, depends on what.
But sometimes during the middle of the day, you'll be in the bedroom watching TV.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah. It's more comfortable for me.
It's his hub.
All right.
Yeah, and my dog loves to just jump in the bed with me and just sit there and watch. We watched live from yesterday.
Luca loves baseball and golf.
She loves anything that's on TV. She loves. But live from I think started at 3. We're watching live from a little bit. Can't wait. Now the weather sucked down there at Augusta yesterday. My buddy and his son. They had tickets just for yesterday.
A refund, I think, but they have to wait for next year.
They have to wait for next year.
I think so.
Because they closed the course yesterday, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
I can't wait.
The weather report, though, for the actual tournament looks great. It's 70s and sunny Thursday through Sunday.
They said yesterday was going to be the worst day of the week.
Yeah.
We're going to have Carl Paulson on tomorrow. Carl Paulson, former PGA Tour player. Now he works for PGA Tour Radio on Sirius. Co-host Inside the Ropes with Dennis Paulson.
I used to listen to that show all the time.
Yeah. He was actually driving to Augusta yesterday.
Does he live in South Carolina or something?
I think he lives in, I want to say he lives in, yeah, Charleston or somewhere down there near the beach. So he was driving to Augusta yesterday, but we'll get his take on the field and the tournament and all the storylines. All right, here's a story. There's a report out, and I'm not sure what the source is. I have to read the entire story. That Travis Hunter will be the number two pick by the Cleveland Browns.
Does that stun you?
No, not really. But we kind of talked about the fact that, you know, they do need a quarterback. So, you know, maybe Shador would go to Mel Kiper has Shador as the top quarterback in the class for him, even above Cam Ward. But anyway, so team owner Jimmy Haslam admitted the Browns would love to address the quarterback situation in the draft, but Cleveland has long expected Cam Ward, the consensus top signal caller, to go one to the Titans. That would still leave Sanders available. At least one team is convinced the Browns will take the big-name quarterback at number two, but others believe that they're going to take Travis Hunter.
I saw Hunter say he wants to play every snap and thinks he can play every snap in the NFL.
I know. I've seen him say that multiple times.
Now, the Browns do have 10 picks. They can maneuver around a lot. Now, four of them are in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
But they have pick number two, and then they have 33, 67, and 94. So four picks amongst the top 100. So maybe they try to trade back into the late first round if there's a quarterback there that they want.
Mm-hmm. Is Kenny Pickett atop the depth chart right now?
I think he's it. Not, this is probably a landing spot too for Kirk Cousins, potentially, if they don't feel like drafting a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts with the Browns, but I wouldn't expect much out of them in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, depends. I mean, if Kirk Cousins does go there and he's a lot healthier than he was last year, maybe he makes them a lot better. Mm-hmm. But if they don't go with a Cousins type and they go with a veteran or a number two and then just wait until next year, or if they draft Shador and start him as a rookie, I would agree with you. But you just never know how these guys are going to play. You don't know what these teams are thinking. Still got a lot of time left. I mean, the draft is in another 17, 18 days.
Is Kiper the only one of note, a big name, that has Shador ahead of Cam Ward?
Big name? I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, people are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that Mel Kiper has Sanders as his top quarterback, and then you see some of these other mock drafts where they've got Shador going late first.
Right.
If that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all opinion.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear some audio from Wizards and Capitals and Mystics owner Ted Leonsis. Might have an update on the Ovi statue. He joined Grant and Danny yesterday. Yeah.
Nice.
So we'll play some audio from Ted Leonsis next here on The Fan. So Washington Capitals owner Ted Leonsis joined Grant and Danny yesterday, and we have some of the audio from that in case you missed it. Here's Grant and Danny talking to Ted about plans about building a statue at the renovated Capital One Arena.
We're going to have a statue garden, and there'll be our greats are there. You know, Elena Deladon retired last year, two-time. And last week, she's a two-time MVP, WNBA, won a championship. She should have a statue. She'll have a statue. So we'll have a statue garden. But now we're going from 900,000 square feet to 1.6 million square feet. And we will have a gallery, a museum, a restaurant that's a sports bar, and have a lot of memorabilia, a lot of important artifacts in our past, and we've been curating to be able to celebrate, you know, the great players that have passed through.
All right, hold on. I'm a little bit confused. I've been to, like, North Carolina's campus, for example.
Yeah.
Duke's campus, where they have Kentucky and these, they have, like, these basketball like almost like museums, mm-hmm. right? You go through there and you get a tour, and they have, like at North Carolina, you know, they have all these cases with MJ's, like letter of intent and letters from Dean Smith and, you know, pictures of all the championship teams, you know, all, everything you can think mm-hmm. of. Is he saying that the statue's going to be indoors? It's going to be something
sounds
like that?
Sounds like it.
I need an outdoor statue. You can put Ella Deledon's indoors, but Ovi's statue needs to be outside the arena.
Yeah.
I would think it would be right outside the main entrance.
That's what I
don't know. I don't know if it's going to be like an outdoor garden.
You said it's a statue. He's a garden.
He says it's a garden.
Gardens
I don't know if that
are
means
usually
it's
like outdoors. I know. I mean, I guess you could have an indoor,
one. I kind of envision it like almost like a mall, you know, mm-hmm. and you're kind of walking around the promenade.
Yeah.
And then there's like statues in the promenade and restaurants.
What's a promenade? I don't even know what a promenade is, really.
It's like a massive open air foyer when you go to a mall that's usually kind of covered.
Okay. I just still think the statue should be outside. Maybe I'm misinterpreting.
Maybe I'm being selfish.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting.
Look, of course, my input is not welcome, but I just feel like Ovi should have his own spot. Like, I don't think he should be sharing with Elena Deledon or Wes Unseld. Like, Ovi should have his own spot, like, to himself.
It shouldn't be
Ovi and six other statues.
No, it gets lost.
You know what I'm saying?
No, he should have one. Outside the arena.
Unless his is just the biggest of all of the others.
I mean, he should have his own dedicated Alexander Ovechkin section.
I kind of envision it like Camden Yards. Because if you go out in center field, they have the collection of statues out there, and all of them are kind of the same.
I have to look it up.
They probably put that in after you've gone. But like they have Cal there. Mm-hmm. They have Jim Palmer out there.
Eddie
They have Brooks.
Like
all in that area. I don't know if they have Eddie.
Like how many outside of M&T Bank? How many Ravens? They have Johnny Unitas.
They have Johnny. They have Johnny Unitas.
The way
and
they
Ray
have
Lewis.
It, yeah. The way they have it at Camden Yards, I like. I like that outdoors, big ass stadium. You know, big ass statues. I like it.
I can't quite fathom how they're going. He said from 900,000 square feet to 1.6 million square feet. Well, I know that
they're taking
over a lot. Now, this is just guess, but I think they're taking over a lot of that area that's when you walk into Clyde's, that little walkway.
Yeah, but that's not like, that much.
But area. It's like inside, too, where I guess
like the bowling alley is.
Bar Louie used to be way back in the day. I think that they're probably going to get a lot of that space. So maybe that's a spot where this statue garden that Ted's talking about is going to be part of the new.
I'm sure I'm misinterpreting, but I just don't want him indoors. I want Ovi's big ass.
I'm fine with indoors, just as long as just give him his proper due. I don't want him getting lost in the shuffle with five or six other statues.
You don't want it to be like a mini mellow.
Yeah, but if you look at the way
commercial.
I've seen the commercial,
if you look at the way Camden has done it, it's not bad.
I just feel like personally,
right? It's kind of like a
Ovi's
garden
head
area.
Like shoulders above the rest.
Like all of fame.
Anybody else?
Of course,
he's more important than any other statue that's going
to
go out.
Why don't you agree with what I said? Why don't you? You can put him next to all those other, but he has to be the biggest statue.
It's fine. I still feel like he's sharing. I don't think Alex Ovechkin needs to share. I think he should have a big selfish spot just to himself.
All right. Well, we can't convince
Cakes.
Right,
so we'll see how that plays out over the next few years as they renovate Capital One. Here's a clip of Ted talking about where Ovi stands as far as players in D.C. sports history, where he ranks.
Alex is in a class by himself right now. You know, when you break an all-time record in the league, and we've had MVPs pass through here. You know, Wes Unseld is an all-time great, but for Alex to do what he's done, it can be debated. I'm certainly open for the debate, but I'd have to say he's the most important athlete in a professional sport in Washington, D.C. Certainly when we drafted him 20 years ago, I don't think that would have come into the conversation. And so he's earned it. I mean, his longevity, his body of work, his accomplishments, and what he's done for the community.
You know, and I still
can't disagree there.
I'm struck by
them kind of, you know, and I'm sure this has been well known in hockey circles for a long time, but you know, if you're a dedicated fan, but that year, I think they had the third best odds, right? So, and I'm sure I'm not correct on the numbers, but it was something like the first team that was that had like a 24% chance. Then the next team, I think maybe it was Pittsburgh, I'm not sure who it was, had an 18% chance. Caps had 16% chance, and yet they got lucky enough to get the top pick to get Ovi, which changes history.
Correct.
Sometimes you need some luck.
It really is crazy to think about his career, how he's played 20 years, and he started off spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
I think his second or third year, he had 65 goals.
Yeah.
So everyone knew he was an immediate star. And then 20 years later, he's breaking what everyone thought was an unattainable record. And then he's having one of his best years statistically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
After he missed 5 weeks.
After he missed, what, 15 games, I'm guessing?
Probably,
something like that.
Something, yeah.
I mean, if he played those, didn't get hurt, he'd probably lead the league in goals right now.
Well, he'd have mid-50s in goals.
Which would lead the league.
Yeah.
It's kind of a stunner.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. At 39, he's
still... So I think he should be an MVP candidate. I don't even care.
I would agree with you.
He should be in the mix.
Yeah.
Do you have what Ted said about the Nationals?
We do, yeah. This is Ted talking about his interest in becoming the new owner of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, I'm forever interested. But the season started, and that should be a signal that, you know, when the season starts, that the Lerner family is very committed and the team's really not for sale. The news on the network was a surprise. The media was reporting, a logical place would be for it to, for the Nats to come next season onto our network. But for those of us who are aware of what's going on in the local media space, there's not really an opportunity to pay another team on our network because we're not going to get additional dollars, at least not next year. So it was, this is a Rubik's Cube that still needs to be solved. And I think where the Lerner family is, and we haven't had active conversations, is they're rebuilding the team. They're excited about the team. The new season has started. They don't want any rumors, any hoopla about corporate developments. They want to focus on the team, and I totally understand that. I respect that. Mark Lerner came to the game when Alex scored 2 goals, met Wayne Gretzky. I mean, we're close friends. I love the family. I'm going to be here. We'll keep the lights on, but there's nothing active going on. And, you know, I'm going to go out and buy season tickets for the Nationals. It's hard to go to games, you know, when Caps are still in season, Wizards are still in season. But I look forward to going and checking out the team. And, you know, I enjoy going to baseball games. So,
Ted, why are you buying tickets? I mean, come on, learn from the best.
He's a man of means, Case.
I understand.
He didn't have to beg.
He'll just
buy tickets.
I understand that Ted has deep pockets.
He'll be classy.
I'm well aware.
And he will just enjoy.
Sure.
He's in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
He'd love to buy the Nationals. Nationals right now aren't for sale.
Right.
He'll answer the call.
Sure.
If Lerner calls him.
He's waiting for that
bat
phone to ring.
But he's not actively going out and knocking on the door.
Right.
Saying that he wants to buy the team. Though he does.
Cakes, the statue is going to be outside. It's going to be huge.
That you have
full
knowledge of this?
Yes.
Mm. You have a source?
Yes.
Mm.
But I'm not going to tell you who it is.
I wish you'd give me your source.
Nope.
Well, it should be outside. Anything else was unacceptable.
No.
Good.
All right. Don't forget, later in the show, we're going to talk Masters, because it is Masters week. We'll be joined in studio by Timothy Gay. He's the author of Rory Land, a book about Rory McIlroy. He'll join us coming up at 8:40 here on The Junks.